You know, the Glock people have made 5 million guns since 1982.
I saw that.
That sounds like a lot of guns. How many people are on Earth?
A couple billion.
Okay.
5 billion.
Yeah, I'm just curious, like, how many of them actually own Glocks. And by the way, the Austrians were the ones that made the Walther P-38. That's what the Glock replaced.
Okay. That I didn't know.
That was the James Bond, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. It was a Walther. I don't know what the actual.
Right.
Can you Google that for me? What did James Bond carry? Because they decided they were going to replace the Walther P-38 with the Glock. And by the way, it doesn't go back that far. It goes back to 1980 is when they actually started manufacturing the Glock.
There's actually a 007 wiki.
Of course there is. Why wouldn't there be?
He carried a Beretta 418, Beretta, Walther PPK.
PPK, that's
back to the Beretta, and then back to the Walther.
This is in the movies or the books?
These were the movies.
Okay. The movies were the movies. You got to go to the books for the actual, you know, if you want the honest answer, because there's that time when Roger Moore showed up in a Lotus.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Come on. It's an Aston Martin. We all know what we're doing there.
Right.
All right. Back here on a Wednesday, Wayne Kent stops by. Are you a Foyd card-carrying guy? I didn't know. I figured just the Australia or the Canada, Australia. The Australia, you know, you think about going to the Outback, like maybe you'd
be
armed.
They've got lots of guns in Australia.
Yes.
Not so much in Canada. Right.
Yeah.
No, not so much. My son is. Mm-hmm. I have fired a gun, one gun, one time in my life. But my son, he's eat up with it.
Really? And how did that happen?
My father-in-law was a gun collector.
Okay.
And so Ben started, you know, when he was a young
teenager. And did that bother you?
No.
Okay.
I mean, so.
So you're not, teenager, you're like me. You're not anti. You just don't participate.
It's when he's exactly. When he was a teenager, he had a gun safe in his bedroom.
Really? As a teenager?
Yeah, like about 17 or so.
Is that legal to own? Just had the safe, right? There wasn't anything in it.
Well, I imagine there was something.
Nod, wink, wink.
But there would have been. What's the use of having a safe if you don't have stuff?
Well, you're 17. How can you have a Foyd card and own a gun?
You can own a gun at 17, I think so.
Can you?
Yeah.
Really? At any age?
Probably about 14.
You have to wait to vote, but we'll sell you a gun? Is that really, honestly, it?
Well, we'll put them in a car.
Yeah, I think you can.
But you can't drink or smoke. These are the weird laws that I don't understand.
Tell me about it.
Weird. You mentioned, like, have them in your car. I mean, I remember there was a time where, like, my fellow high schoolers would bring their guns to school. I mean, I remember showing
gun
them to the principal.
On the back of the pickup,
to the principal. Like, here's my gun. Well, and it was like, oh, yeah, that's great. The principal would be commenting on it. Now, of course, they can't do that because they can't be on the property.
No, because it would cause, like, an automatic shutdown.
Yes.
CNN
right.
would show up
but
with satellite trucks.
That was very, because they would actually be hunting.
Well, they used
to
do shooting in high school. I mean, like, you would have it as a class.
Right.
But these kids would go hunt in the morning in November and then
come to
school. I
remember kids at Moroa, with Ben, they would come to school with the deer.
Truck, showing it off to the kids.
I'm just pointing that out.
Because you just go to hunt in the morning and then come to school.
My youngest, we did take the hunter
safety
course.
Do you have like a Canadian and Australian side, like the little devil and the angel like sitting on your shoulder that like contradict each other all the time?
No, I do. I live.
Because I would think the Australian would think that was really cool, deer in the back, and the Canadian would be appalled.
No, I think I quite acknowledge that I am schizophrenic all the way around.
Okay,
I mean, I'm
good. Well,
personalities.
You know,
who are we kidding?
Life's halfway about being comfortable with yourself, right, and knowing.
That's right. I'm quite aware that I'm very conflicted.
All right. I have. Tell me if
By
this
the
is
way,
fair.
Can I just say, I walked in here 3 minutes ago aware as there was this piece of oatmeal stuck on the side of my chin. And I've seen a couple of people already this morning. What kind of friends are you that you didn't say something about this?
I didn't see it.
I didn't see it either. I guess
I did notice when I was doing my weather, he took his headphones back off and covered his ears my entire weather. Was there something about my voice that you don't like, Wayne?
I did that?
Yes.
Oh, no, I can't say that, no.
He was checking for oatmeal.
I was praying.
All right. He was saying a prayer for like an early spring. Is there something, and I find, I was glad to hear you're not a gun owner, and I don't know that it's fair to hold you to a different standard than anybody else. There's something about gun-toting ministers that creeps me out just a little bit.
Why is that?
I don't know. It just seems like a contradiction.
There are plenty of preachers in town that carry.
I'm not saying it's not their God-given right or under the Constitution. I'm not suggesting they shouldn't be. And I'm not suggesting there's any David Koresh, sort of connection. I'm just saying anybody believes in God that much and explosives or something therein sort of gives me the creeps.
No, if you
David Penta. Was the pastor here in town where they built that Western town, right? I mean, I'm still not to this day sure why that Western town exists.
Well, Heartland built that. They were, I believe, they were hoping to kind of connect that with what's happening with the Farm Progress Show, since they're right.
They realized the Farm Progress Show is 3 days every other year.
That was Dave's vision.
Okay,
I can't speak to
but
what
Dave liked thought. To blow stuff up.
Oh, he was very good at it too. He was a pyrotechnic wizard, and he put on you know fireworks displays.
I get that. I'm just saying, if you give me your list, and at the top of your list is God and explosives, I'm a little nervous.
More power to him, I say. See, I understand the First Amendment of the United States, and then I think it's an appropriate amendment.
Yes.
If you want to own a gun.
Second Amendment, you mean.
Second Amendment, pardon
yes.
me. Pardon me, but then we get.
See, that's the Canadian.
No, pardon me. The Second Amendment. But yeah. then we have all these rules as what you can and can't own. I don't get it. Is the Second Amendment not doesn't work?
Well, it's the whole object is stupid. The conversation is stupid to me. It's an inanimate object. No, I mean the whole argument about it's not a gun that ever does anything. It's you deal in this.
Right.
The sin doesn't exist as a thing that just right. jumps back and forth. You
it's
have
individuals.
To commit the sin.
But I would think, based on the Second Amendment, if I won't own a cannon, shouldn't I be able to own a cannon?
No.
Why?
Because you're a minister.
Oh,
and I think
me,
I'd have
I
a
mean,
different
you.
Set of rules for you guys. No, I mean, because there's no, I mean, if you defend your home, you don't need a cannon. I'm not one of these slippery slope arguments. I'm a believer in the Second Amendment, and I don't think that people on the coast understand hunters and people who take this responsibly and all of that. I don't think they get it at all. But I also struggle with some of the basic arguments that Second Amendment defenders will make. Like, why do I need a clip that will hold 800 bullets? I mean, I don't. Are you being literally? Is your house being attacked by Poland? I mean, you probably don't need 800 rounds.
Probably not.
And so, when a teenager with mental health issues shows up at a school and starts blowing people away, would it be easier to take them down if they had a 6-shot revolver? Probably.
Probably. Are you going to get one?
Yes, I'm gun nut. I'm already in. Getting the bumper stickers. I'm getting everything.
So you're gonna
concealed carry. Oh, I'm packing everywhere.
Pack.
Can you pack at First Christian Church?
Yes.
You have one of those stickers on the door.
That's
we have one.
Stupid
yeah,
thing.
You can't
what's
bring
gonna,
it to work.
We have a sticker that cost us an advertiser, by the way. That sticker.
Yeah.
What's that? What does that do?
Oh, nothing.
Come on now, Wayne. I mean, I'm hell bent on I'm making somebody pay. Well, wait a minute. There's a sticker.
That's right. No, I can't go in because
it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I think that it's an invitation for crisis and an invitation for disaster to put that sticker on.
But we've talked about this with churches, in particular with the church shooting.
Oh,
and you know, I know you were quoted, I think, in the paper or something. I read a story
right.
about security, and we talked about this. But you guys don't ban it.
Put it this way: we have a very precise and very intentional security approach and a security team.
They're pack and eat.
It's like snipers.
I'm not talking about. I couldn't.
It's like the Super Bowl. Wayne's got like an area with a guy with like literally.
I could not speak to.
No,
the
I don't. Nor would I. Nor would
fuse.
I. Nor would I ask you. But you're not adamantly like. I mean, you're not saying this is a gun-free zone. Okay.
My responsibility in a moment of crisis is to protect the congregation
sure.
at that time, right?
Yeah, I would think
and
so.
No sticker is going to protect them.
No. No, but it makes
but
you feel better.
A plan will feel better. A plan may protect you.
And by the way, it doesn't matter because when we get back on the other side of the break, on June 24th, the world's coming to an end.
Yeah, well,
guns, no guns.
I'm so glad now, you bring these stories to me, man.
Because this is out of the Bible, supposedly.
No, it's not.
Okay, well, don't step on the lead.
No, I won't.
We'll tell you all about it when we get back on the other side of the break. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Gay Auberg, owner of Synergy Home Care. We have an amazing team of in-home caregivers, and because of them, we are an award-winning agency. Thanks to their giving hearts, we are the fastest-growing Synergy Home Care agency in the country. At Synergy Home Care, our number one priority is our clients' happiness. Our caregivers do so much more than just tasks. They open their hearts and go above and beyond the expected. Together, we will customize a care plan for you or your loved one. You can maintain your independence and stay in the home you love. Give us a call for a free assessment at 217-615-1826. Whether you need help once in a while or 7 days a week, our caregivers are ready to improve the quality of your life. Give us a call today at 217-615-1826. Or look us up online, synergyhomecare.com. Synergy Home Care is now hiring compassionate caregivers and franchise opportunities are available.
Attend a campus visit day on Monday, February 19th, and discover why Millikan University is ranked among the nation's top schools by Forbes, the Princeton Review, the Wall Street Journal, and U.S. News & World Report. You'll see what makes a Millikan education stand out. Hands-on performance learning experience in and outside the classroom. Visit campus to learn about academics, student life, and take a tour. Make it Millikan and attend the February 19th campus visit day and see for yourself why Millikan is consistently ranked as one of the nation's best. Register at millikan.edu/visit.
With roots in agriculture, manufacturing, production, we've emerged as a global force. It's a transformation. Logistics services, food and ingredients, biotechnology, health and medical science. Innovation at its finest every single day. These careers are waiting for you. Visit careersdecatur.com. We are Decatur and Macon County, and we are limitless.
This is Byers and Company on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
What do you think Glock means in Austrian?
I don't know.
I mean, it's a very unique word.
I'm trying to think.
I have a Glock. I mean, you know.
You sound like Sean Connery.
I know. I mean, it's one of those kind of words. Yeah.
One Pringle.
All right.
It's designed from the German word for bell.
Oh, that's loving.
But what does that mean?
I don't know.
Those Austrians and their sense of humor. Who? Go figure. All right. Now this matters because the world's ending.
The world's ending.
Every couple of years, we have to have one of these stories. Why is that? I think you guys are behind it. Yes, it causes a sense of urgency. Yes, I think that there's got to be a reminder every once in a while. This party's not going to last.
Well, it's not going to last. We know that. But that's a different
Well, how do we know that?
Well, Scripture says it.
Okay,
it?
You say Scripture. They're telling me Scripture says we're all going to go.
Yeah, but they're idiots.
Okay, I love the fact that you will say that out loud. This is the new thing. And by the way, you're hearing it here first, but this will build because it always does, whether it's the Mayan. I mean, you know, every time we have one of these end-of-the-world stories, it sort of picks up a lot of media space. But they're saying that basically that we're all going to die this year on June 24th, 2018. We don't even get a 4th of July. I mean, so David Pinta, wherever he is, will not even get, you know, his final hurrah. Supposedly this is coming right out of the Bible.
No, it's not. It's not.
Okay, well,
I'm quite disappointed, too, because if it's going to end, I'd really like it to end. I'm turning 60 in June, and I'm struggling a little bit with that one.
Are you the big 6-0?
Oh, yeah. I don't know why. It's like... I turned 40, 50 without a purpose. 60s being...
See, people always tell me something that makes me worry because I haven't been bothered by 40 or 50.
No, that blew straight past those. But the 60, like, you're down into your last
Well, just think
decade.
About... Nah. 60's the new 40. Working, you're good. You're good.
Yeah. I'm healthy and everything.
All right. So we had the millennium. You remember, like, in 99, was going to turn over 2000. By the way, David Pinta shot fireworks off this building that night. Top of this building.
Yeah,
downtown Decatur.
People paid him to do all kinds of...
Right. Saving souls and blowing up downtowns. I mean, he was all about. All right, so the Y2K computer virus, the Mayan, we have these. Now, what are they saying is in the Bible that you say is not in the Bible?
Well, first of all, Jesus says do not put a date on the end of the world.
Very good sales on his part. I mean, really, when you're stacking up religion for all time, that was a brilliant move.
Yeah, and so if he
Because if he had...
There would be.
It would have changed the dynamic of what you do forever.
That's right. He said, do not put a date on the end of the world. And so when you have people come along and say they use the Bible to put a date on the end of the world, you want to go, hello, Jesus said, don't do this.
Why is it that over the years that Christians or people of faith, no matter what the faith, have had so much disagreement on what is basically written down? I mean, why can you guys not all come to the same conclusion about what is actually in the Bible?
Because we're humans, for starters.
Okay, I'll buy that.
And I could say facetiously, some of us are smarter than others, but that's probably not appropriate, so I won't say it.
It's accurate, but not appropriate, yes.
And I think some people are just bent on this apocalyptic view of world and view of life, and the world is out to get them. And I want to go, well, I know there's really bad things in the world, and I know the world will come to an end. Jesus said it as such, but I'm going to follow him. I'm going to say...
Okay, but can I ask you this?
Sure.
Are you being a little nonchalant about this, Wayne?
No.
Because ultimately you believe this is the end.
I am not
It's just
nonchalant.
The audacity of predicting the end.
That's exactly correct, yeah. I'm not. I mean, I'm in ministry because I think the world is going to end at some point.
Okay, well,
your life is going to end at some point,
well,
Brian.
Now that is true because we're all going to die. I don't know that you could take that logic and then presume that the world is going to end.
Well, put it this way: Scripture says the world is going to end.
Yeah, but he also said no time. That could be 5,000 years from now.
Could be.
Haven't preachers, by and large, made a lot of hay out of reading into these predictions?
Some preachers have, which is always strange to me when you think they're still putting into their 401ks.
Yeah. I mean, you got till June. Spend. But like the formation of Israel and other things that are sort of used to demark sort of like historical notes interpreting out of the Bible.
Right. And I think that's where you have to be really careful. What happens is, particularly in the beginning in about the 1850s is when this really became quite popular.
Okay.
Coming out of American Protestantism, by the way, that there was this apocalyptic view and somewhat it's a little bit racist in some ways or perhaps nationalistic in that America was growing and America was going to save the world. And coming from that, this understanding that, man, we're going to do our job and then Jesus is going to come back. One of the tenets of the faith of our congregation is that Jesus is going to return again. I have no doubt about that. That's up to God.
All right, so what are they interpreting out of the Bible that you say, no, that's the wrong interpretation?
Well, they take portions of scriptures out of the book of Revelation, which is Revelation. The book is called Revelation, not Revelations, when people put an S on the end.
You get really, it's like people that say Kmart. You can't do that. Ventures.
Illinois.
I don't know what people do with that S, but they do a lot of that.
Yeah. Why do they do that?
I don't know.
Anyway, but there's Revelation, and there are... I mean, they add numbers, and it's kind of numerology, which, again, Jesus said, Scripture's quite clear. You shouldn't get into numerology. And so,
if Christians would just start with that,
that'd be very hopeful, wouldn't
it? Don't get outside of what Jesus says. This is what you've based all this on.
Right.
Exactly. You can't then ignore what you've based all this on. But wouldn't that really take away
That would take a lot of way of this guy's...
Let's start with that premise.
Right. So I want to go, okay, so what's my job in this community? My job in this community is to make this community better. With the ultimate goal, I don't want to mislead anyone. The ultimate goal is that people would know Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Because he's coming back again. Now, that's my belief. It drives what we do as a congregation.
Mm-hmm.
Why I'm on the air? Because I believe that what we have to say
is... Okay, so there's a fine line then between like what you do, and then you start adding in like crop harvests and pricing on the stock market with the Bible. I mean, how do people start with this like basic premise of... What would Jesus do? We have a whole bracelet industry. And then you guys like forget to ask yourself that question. And then somebody goes off the reservation, and then the media loves an end of the world story. Next thing you go, we're done June 24th.
It's overlaying our 20th and 21st viewpoint, our modern world viewpoint on an ancient text.
Yeah.
And the ancient text speaks to the issues of humanity. It can't speak always to the issues of what it means to drive a car down the road because the writers had no idea what that meant. Now, please hear me. I'm not in any way denying the validity, the authority, and the, I will use the word inerrancy of Scripture, but we may be getting too deep in all of that.
Now, should we add that Nostradamus also predicted that the world would end in 2018? Does that add any validity to any of this?
No, he's dead.
Well, I know that.
I don't know. I don't see
it. He didn't have any skin in the game. Doesn't count.
He doesn't count. No, I mean, so what? I mean... Who was the guy who owns all the radio stations in the West Coast who said the world was going to end in 2011?
Yeah, I know. You can't win with this stuff. And you start throwing in the super moon and who knows. We got to take one last break. Wayne Kitt will tell us what's up on the direct line right after that. Here's Lindsay with your three-day forecast.
Today we've got mostly sunny skies. Highs are going to be around 23 degrees. Then for tonight, cloudy, lows around 8. Thursday, partly sunny, highs near 33. And Friday, cloudy, with highs around 38 degrees. It is currently 17 degrees in downtown Decatur.
Dan Calkins wants to be your state representative.
I support Dan for state rep because I think he'll go to Springfield and do what he says he will do because he's an honest, committed person.
Dan Calkins stands up for what's right, and we need politicians in Springfield that's going to do right.
We have to get out and vote and vote and put the right people in. That's why I'm voting for Dan Calkins.
I think Dan can break the mold of what we think of politicians.
Vote for Dan Calkins, Republican for state representative.
Paid for by the committee to elect Dan Calkins.
Hey, it's Lindsay Romano. You've heard me talk all about the great services from Babbage Medical Spa. Well, amp up your New Year's resolution, save the date, and lose the fat.
Mark your calendar for Thursday, February 15th, with presentations at either 4 or 5:30 p.m. at Babbage Medical Spa on North Monroe. Learn about Cool Sculpting, the number one non-invasive fat-removing technique, and watch a patient treatment. Register to win one free Cool Sculpting treatment and find out about special event pricing. Make sure to RSVP at 330-8939.
You know what's surprising to me? Donald Trump has not yet been accused of being the beast.
Oh, no, I'm sure he has.
No, I'm saying that's the only thing I haven't heard, right? Like, underneath all that dew, that's why the hair. There's a 666 under there.
I don't think so.
Anyway, that's back to the other
Maybe that's his, that's the way in which the...
As Wayne, you know what Wayne pointed out to me? It was almost like a direct quote from the comedian Dennis Miller. It's like, no one's looking for Christ on prom night. Like, if this is all ending in June, why aren't the people down at the Oasis homeless shelter doing some good?
That's the truth.
True.
I mean, if Jesus is coming back tomorrow,
why aren't we down at Oasis saying, come to know Jesus? Why aren't we in the school saying, can I help you?
I'm with you. All right, tonight on the Direct Line. We've got about a minute left.
All right, one of the things we can do is visit with Suman Chomsky. She was...
She would hang out with the Beatles?
Hang out with the actual Beatles, right? And she was with them when they went to see the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi 50 years ago this year.
George Harris, big into that.
And she stayed there for 22 years.
In India?
Right.
Really?
Right, so we're going to talk about that.
That's a vacation.
I don't know what you do there, but I'm going to find out tonight.
All right, good stuff. Starting at 5 o'clock, The Direct Line with Wayne Kent. If you miss it live, you can listen to the podcast presented by Jerger Pediatric Dentistry and go to Nauticator.com or the Nauticator Facebook page or even the iTunes store to find all of our podcasts. That's it for us. We'll be back tomorrow morning starting 6 a.m. Paul Osborne, the City Hall Insider, will be with us. And I'll give those tickets away. I know I said I was going to do it today. Got behind, got too late. We had too many more important things to talk about. And if you want to help with my gun nut enthusiasm, please email us at buyers@wsoyam.com. We'll see you tomorrow.
Get your news, weather, and sports now with the Now Decatur app, available for free for iTunes and Google Play. Only with Now Decatur and WSOY Decatur.
8:59. Good morning. I'm Jeff Daly in the WSOY newsroom. Well, if you're tired of winter and ready for some green, you're invited to celebrate spring and St. Patrick's Day. Entrants are now being sought for the 2018 annual Decatur St. Patrick's Day Parade at 11 a.m. Saturday, March 17th in downtown Decatur. The parade will follow the traditional route through downtown. It's sponsored by the Knights of Columbus Council 577. To get your green on and join in the fun, get a hold of Jim Wrigley. You can find his email address with the story at nowdecatur.com.